Hi, welcome to Parkinson's and Me, Parkinson's and Perseverance. Hi everyone, my name is Daniel. It is coming up on a year since I was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's disease. And this podcast is about a man, me, that is attempting to come to terms with a diagnosis of Parkinson's and turning the mental train around. Hopefully, this is a show that helps answer some of your questions. And the overall question that I face, that I have to answer is, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to stay secluded, isolated, and just wait for this disease to take control? Or do I go on the offense, facing this disease head on? But through this confusion and through this chaos, I am joined by my brother, Brian, who is with me now. Brian, greetings.
Heck, man, I'm bringing the confusion and chaos. I don't know what you're talking about there. Bringing it today, man. I've just completed my first week of school, so I'm bringing that confusion and chaos to the show today.
Well, I certainly appreciate still willing to join your brother on this show.
Well, it's good, honestly, to shift my focus and talk with you and be on the podcast. So thanks for having me. But enough about me. A lot of people are wanting to know how my brother is doing with his Parkinson's journey. So Daniel, fill us in on what's going on in your world.
Well, I have to be honest and say it has been a rough time, a lot of stress and fear. Recently, within the past several weeks, I've noticed, I can't help but notice, but there is pain shooting through my left and my right hand to where it is like ice shooting through my veins. It is so painful that it's caused the coordination in my hands to pretty much give out. It's been disabling, and it's starting to spread through my legs. What's concerning is the contacts I have and my neurologist. They said that they haven't or really hurt anyone with these symptoms and it being related to Parkinson's. I've already had carpal tunnel surgery on both my hands by different surgeons. Again, I'm still waiting for the appointment with the movement disorder specialist. That's still a few months away. It's scary. It's been really rough.
Yes, especially since, at least to me as an outsider, I don't usually associate pain, sharp pain symptoms with Parkinson's. So I guess that is unusual.
It's incredibly difficult to focus on anything with the intensity going through my hands. It's just constant strumming pain. Maybe this will reach someone who has experienced it and can pass along that information.
Is this just certain times of the day or all day? What?
It's all day.
How is that affecting your mental health?
Not being able to use my hands has been really taking its toll. It's been crazy because I've been telling myself, geez, if it was only Parkinson's that I was dealing with, if this is on top of it, this is going to be very, very, very rough.
No doubt. Just the physical pain's got to be insane to deal with. I guess the unknown has just kind of gone along with this Parkinson's journey. And just to let our listeners know, we're going to talk with someone who is also facing the unknown, as many of you who are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and began your journey not knowing what was going on. I believe we have our first guest outside our little group here, so I'm pretty excited. Tell us more about this individual.
Yeah, his name is Ian Rodriguez, and Ian reached out to my wife through Facebook and was checking in on me. Ian was diagnosed with Parkinson's at age 25. He and I are the same age now. He's had it for 18 years.
Well, I imagine he has a lot of insights to share for myself and our audience, so let's get into our conversation with Ian.
Ian and I started introducing ourselves.
I'm real excited to be here and Daniel to, you know, let my voice be heard and, yeah, talk about my testimony with Parkinson's disease.
Ian is warm and inviting and sets your mind at ease.
It's very rare to be diagnosed at age 25. But I recall seeing my first tremor at age 10.
Starts out from the beginning. when you first noticed that there was something different?
You know, I worked 15 years for Pizza Hut. I was a restaurant general manager, and I started, I don't know, feeling kind of awkward, you know. Every single time pizzas came out of the oven, I would grab the pliers to get the pizza out of the oven, and I would like boom drop, and like, what the heck, that shouldn't have happened. And boom, and I kind of noticed a pattern. And yeah, so I went to go see my primary care first, and I said, well, you know, this is going on. And he started looking at me. So, you know what, neurology is not my department. Why don't we go ahead and get an opinion from a neurologist and see what he thinks? But to me, it looks like signs of Parkinson's. So when I first saw the first neurologist there, I went in there and, you know, he did his things and with the hand and had me walk. He came to the conclusion that it was Parkinson's disease. And we went to go get a second opinion. You know, what the heck? Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt, right? And so, yeah, I went to Parkinson's Institute out there. It's in Sunnyvale, California. And so I saw a moving disorder specialist. He also, you know, went a little bit further testing and says, yeah, he says, you know what, it is Parkinson's. I'm like, holy wow, okay. At that moment when you're told Parkinson's disease, you know, so many things come to your mind, you know, well, how to get this, you know. I was telling him, well, it couldn't have been because my dad was an alcoholic. So no, that has nothing to do with it. And I was also thinking too, because my mom, you know, when she was a young age kid, you know, she went through some traumatic stuff, and so she had to take some, you know, some heavy medications. And I said, well, could there be a bit of that? No, that's not it either. I'm there sitting and I'm thinking Parkinson's. The first thing, Daniel, that came to my mind is this, you know, since I'm Catholic, the first person that popped into my mind was John Pope II. And I'm like, holy guacamole, I'm good. And I popped up like, wait a minute, you're telling me that I have a disease for your older Thai folks? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, you know, once again, how can that be? And back then, now my wife, you know, we're sitting there and we're thinking, and I recall that, you know, we both broke down in tears and like, what's going to happen to me? I had very, very, very little knowledge about Parkinson's. The only thing I knew about Parkinson's back then is it's tremors. That's all I knew. Back then in 2002, I felt really, really alone in this journey. I didn't have any chats or any communication with anybody else that had Parkinson's. Not even Facebook was up back in the days. And so I felt kind of a little bit isolated.
As we were talking, he was not given much information. And simply the information that was out there wasn't at its depth that it is now. So Ian, earlier you were referring to 2008.
2008, oh boy. 2008, lots of things, lots of happy moments happened in 2008, and then lots of sad moments. You know, I took a vacation to witness the birth of my first child being born. And so, yeah, I came back the following week, all motivated, ready to take on the world, had the ideas that I'm going to be doing this because now I have a babe, newborn baby, and I need them extra bonuses that I can capture wherever I can. Pizza Hut ended up firing me, and so I ended up applying for my unemployment benefits. And then they decided to take me to appeal my unemployment benefits. And so that's when the twists would turn to bad, because they ended up, you know, making sure that they dot their I's and cross their T's on me. Had I had better information, I would have probably got an attorney and sued the heck out of them. But later on, I found out that the truth is that they were really concerned about my Parkinson's. So from that point on, you know, knowing, oh, snap, I'm not getting any unemployment benefits. How am I going to do this? Everything as far as depression, stress, I just broke.
In 2008, this is the peak of the Great Recession. What are the chances of getting another job?
What good does it do that I had a good resume of 15 years of excellence of restaurant general manager, but if I showed in with an interview, I would be tremoring and shaking. Who's going to want to give me a job with that knowing that they, I have Parkinson's?
Yeah, that's the great dilemma. So, Ian, what's the next step?
I ended up applying for disability in 2009. Daniel, we went for it. You know, I started the process, filled out the application. When I went to the SSI office here in town, even the person that was helping me fill out the application said, don't be surprised, you'll be denied the first time. That's exactly what happened. I got the first letter of denial. I read it. It said that something due to my age. I'm like, that I'm a young kid, but hey, what am I supposed to do? Even though I had, you know, documentation from the first neurologist and documentation from the moving disorder specialist that I went to go see in Sunnyvale, and the current neurologist doctor that I've been seeing now 14 years, Dr. Bhatia, you know, he gave me some good documentation. I had all the documentation of the medications that I was taking. What they ended up doing is they ended up sending me to one of their doctors. Went there, the doctor came in, looked at the paperwork, and he looked at me and did his things. And he's like, you don't have Parkinson's. I'm like, excuse me?
Gosh.
You know, you don't have Parkinson's. That's something else you have. From there, I ended up hiring an attorney that would be able to help me with the case. And so from there, the attorney took over and, you know, he reapplied again. And because I got told that that's the process, you know, that you have to be denied twice and then you get to your official hearing. And meanwhile, you know, you have more stress, more depression, and still keeping on back of the mind, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? It's all bad for your Parkinson's. You know, I honestly felt, Daniel, that that moment was my breaking point.
And this is the complexity of career and finances that is overwhelming, not to mention everything else that comes along with it. So on top of everything you were experiencing, what happened?
You know, when it came down to the hearing, you know, the whole process, it is a long process. Mm-hmm. It took me 3 years to get my my winnings, you know. But after with the hearing and all that went down, and they're proving to them that, you know, I was not capable of working as a fast food restaurant. You know, I'm a first liability for a workman's comp claim or getting hurt.
Through this entire experience with the trauma and everything that's involved with it, there was a ray of sunlight.
When we got the diagnosis, back then she was my girlfriend. I even told her, and I go, hey, so, you know, it's Parkinson's, right? I mean, I don't want to feel that you need to be here in the relationship with me if you don't want to be. And she told me straight up, she's like, you know what? We're both in this together, and I am so thankful. She and my kids are here with my journey. And so, yeah, if the relationship is strong and then the love is there, let's battle it, you know? Yeah, let's battle this.
So Ian, my wife shared your story with me. You reached out to her and you had included some videos of the changes of your condition. Now, on the first video, you were completely dependent on a walker. You could hardly move forward. The next several videos you sent, you're running and boxing. And this is a few months or years later. Take us through what changed.
2015-ish, I was doing really, really, really bad. I was surfacing around YouTube videos looking for, I don't know, whatever. So I typed in something Parkinson's, I forget. And bam, Rocksteady Boxing popped up. I'm like, whoa, okay. And so I ran into a video of a fellow Parkinson's sister down in, I think, close to the LA area. And I started watching the video, and then out comes a gal named Jennifer Parkinson's. And yeah, she's awesome. I got very good communication with her. She's awesome. So I saw her video and I'm like, wait a minute. I felt so inspired. And I was like, wait a minute. If they're doing that down there, shoot, I can do this up here in the Central Valley. Why not?
So Jennifer Parkinson, when she was 32, she was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2005. Apparently, her neurologist told her that you're going to be in a wheelchair in 10 years and unable to care for yourself or her children. And she told him, I'm going to prove you wrong. So in 2016, Jennifer launched Neuroboxing. Now, Ian credits his father-in-law to give him that initial push.
Okay, my father-in-law. Whoa, here's another great person that really helped me out through my journey too as well. My father-in-law told me, hey, through his church, I guess the ministries there, they were opening up a building in there, and they had a few punching bags out there too as well. So he says, yeah, I talked to my pastor, and he wants to meet you. I'm like, okay, pops, you know, I'll go out there with you. And so yeah, we went out there, and I showed him the video that I've seen of Jennifer Parkinson's and what you know, the program did. He said, okay. So right away, you know, I had my gloves on handy that I had bought. And so he had his mitt works, and we just started going boom, boom at it slowly but surely. In 2 weeks, I started feeling a little difference. I started feeling the difference as far as the power that I was getting, you know. And that's one of those key things, Daniel, that movement is a very big, huge key component in the battle against Parkinson's.
I think it's very cool that Ian's father-in-law recognized a way to help him to start moving, starting out very slowly at first and then progressively becoming more active. We have the intro of Rocksteady Boxing into Ian's life. And from all the videos and information you find just a group of very diverse people in different stages of Parkinson's. And Ian was one of those that said that Rocksteady Boxing saved him.
There's a video on YouTube of the whole history of Rocksteady Boxing, where it started in Indianapolis, Indiana, back in 2006. It talks about exactly the person that went in there and you know, and is still in the, now is the head of the program. But it's just an amazing, awesome exercise program, because it's not only designed, Daniel, for people that, you know, just like me. There, it's designed also for fellow Parkies that have mobility, like wheelchair. If you use wheelchair or walker, yeah, we can use a chair and do the same thing. It's the same exercise. We're moving our legs and arms. And
so further in the conversation, Ian described a recent setback. The pandemic hit and gyms had to close, and boxing had to go virtual. He continued to work with his trainer, John Bowers, using Zoom. However, there was an incident that got him off track.
I had a situation about a month ago where my mom lives with us here at my house. My mom, she lost her balance and she fell in her room. And I was attending her because she got a little bit hurt and she got bruised up. So I was making sure she was okay, helping her at night if she needed to go restroom. And so I kind of lost a little bit touch of doing the Zoom.
Right.
Here at home, I have my punching bag where if I'm not at the gym, I'm here at home punching my bags, doing some exercise. I have my Bowflex machinery that I use as well. I have a little bit of a situation with it. I started feeling bad. You know, I'm like, I felt wearing off more often, more than usual. Like, what the heck is going on? And, you know, so if you consume high protein meals, it's going to mess up with your interference of your levodopa. Well, me being who I am, I love carne asada tacos, but sometimes instead of having 6 tacos, I should have 3, but I did. I overdid it. I'm like, why am I freaking wearing off? And I was really feeling really sluggish, and I don't know. So you know the answer to why you're feeling like this. It's because it's been close to 3 to 4 a whole month that you haven't even done an exercise at all. And I actually looked at my video with the walker. I'm like, oh, heck no, I'm not going back there. A couple days ago, I finally broke through in the situation trying to help my mom, and then not being motivated for some reason. It happens. You lose motivation, and that's one of those things that the Rocksteady Boxing trainers are trained to motivate, to inspire. I started thinking over and over, and I went over my head, you know what, Ian, the only way you're gonna get going and break this is to take your own darn freaking advice. If you're not a fighter, learn to be one. If I don't do my cardio or keep up exercises, I'm going to be in bad shape. I ended up looking at a YouTube video of workouts hitting back, and I found this one video that a trainer was talking to at the video, and he says, I'm going to push you. Even though you see me on the video talking, I'm going to push you. And, oh, yeah, I needed someone to say, come on, give me more. And boom, and it's like, boom, I'm like, yeah, I broke through. And I know what I need to do. That sometimes that little push that, come on, Ian, come on, we got to do, you know. So I got it back on track.
It's been 18 years since you were first diagnosed. You have a wonderful wife, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. What's it like for you to be a dad and to have Parkinson's?
Well, I am a little bit concerned because my oldest daughter is going to be starting junior high this year. Like, oh gosh, you know, junior high. Oh Lord, teenagers. Oh boy. But no, you know what, Daniel, you know, my kids are everything to me, and I like to have an open communication with them. I'm not sure if they I'm pretty sure they do understand, because I always tell them, I'm not afraid to say this, you know, hey, you know, later on in the road, daddy's gonna get a little bit weaker or worse, but I still keep on fighting for them, you know. But also to another reason why I put on my boxing gloves and punch the heck out of Parkinson's, because I want to be there for them in their life later on. Be as much as involved as I can with them.
So Ian, you received the Rising Star Award. What does that mean, and what does it symbolize?
Because I'm so much involved with the Parkinson's Foundation, and I guess they found out what I do. You know, I reach out to people and talk to people, and I'm very thankful that there are these sites, Facebook or whatever. I love and I enjoy connecting with so many people. If I'm not talking to you right now, I'll be talking to someone in Tucson, Arizona, or somewhere in the New York area, or even Mexico. I hablo español.
Yeah.
Just talk to fellow Parkinsons in Mexico or the UK or Canada. Fellow friend Sharon, that she lives in North Carolina. She lives by herself. And so I like reaching out to her once in a while to check up on her. And hey, Mama Bear, you okay? Making sure she's fine. Just checking up on them, you know. And I guess the foundation found out that I do that stuff. So yeah, I was totally so shocked to hear that I was even a nominee. I'm like thinking, well, how did this happen? Who did what? What did I do? Or what's going on?
We were speaking before the show, and you were telling me that your doctor said many individuals with Parkinson's that are 18 years in are usually in wheelchairs or not able to be mobile.
I should absolutely be in a wheelchair. And you know what? That's the honest truth. There's five stages of this disease. But the stage where I should be right now in actuality, I should be at a 4. You know, I should be in a wheelchair. No, I should. I'm going to say that because of the boxing and the exercise, I'm at a stage 2, 3, maybe 2.
What about your walker?
I have my walker carrying a trunk just in case. I hardly ever use it because I did ask him a while back, when should we start worrying about me getting better? He says, well, the day we see that the carbidopa stops working, here's the day we need to start worrying. Like, well, I'm 43 now, okay? And I think, holy guacamole. And 10 years from now, I'll be 53. You know what, Daniel? In reality, I can't focus in or be concerned of what's going to happen in the future. The only thing I can be concerned in what I can do is what I can do in the now present. We have our bad and good moments. You're allowed to cry. You're allowed to do whatever you want with this disease, you know, but don't let it define you. There's still life.
Yeah.
It's just keep on battling this disease. Never give up. Do your exercises, you know, movement. Do something. Don't just be there a sitting couch potato and don't feel bad for yourself. I don't feel bad for myself. It seems like my whole never give up attitude was born ever since I started doing the boxing and the exercise. It just totally gave me a lot, totally different power and a totally different view of looking at this disease. And ever since that point on, my whole attitude changed too as well. Feel good about myself, you know? I might have Parkinson's, but Parkinson's does not have me at all.
And I just want to thank Ian Rodriguez for being on the show and sharing with us such a powerful testimony about how he does not give in to Parkinson's and continues to put his boxing gloves on and take the fight to Parkinson's. So Brian, a very inspiring story, one of a person that refused to give up, though he had such challenges along the way and being so young.
He definitely seems to have the Rocky Balboa spirit, boxing ring of life, getting knocked down and getting back up. And just, as you say, Daniel, pressing forward. And it also, as an outsider, just makes me kind of reflect on what I'm complaining about. But he's going through and he's making the best out of his situation. So really was glad that Ian was able to come up on the show and share his story. So Daniel, what is your takeaway from Ian's story as someone who does have Parkinson's disease?
The biggest thing amongst everything else is, number one, his attitude of, don't feel bad for yourself. I don't. I know it took a while for Ian to arrive at that outlook on life. Secondly, really spoke to me when he said he can't look too far in the future. The foundation of this podcast is me trying to look deep into the heart of Parkinson's and trying to find as many answers as I can. It was a great reminder to temper that and to enjoy the loved ones around you.
Something else I took away was just the similarities between your journey and his, Daniel, and some of the differences. So I would love to hear more people come onto our show and explain what they're going through with this disease.
Looking at the next episodes that are coming up, there are only a few left.
So what does that mean? The end of the series? The end of a season?
For right now, The season is going to end within the next several episodes. What I'm going to do after that is going to have to be reevaluated. It may mean that there's some time that needs to come between season one and season two. Maybe I need to live a little bit more. Maybe I need to process and come up with new conclusions in order to share that in season two. I don't know. A format change? Not exactly sure, but I think in the next several episodes, there'll be a good way to wrap up a solid season one, or at least that is my hope.
I believe our audience will think so as well. And while you're busy reflecting during the off season, we would love to hear from our listeners, whether you have Parkinson's or you're someone like myself who's on the outside and knows someone with Parkinson's. Just like Ian's story, there were some similarities there with Daniel and Ian, and there were some differences. So we would love to hear your story and your feedback for the program, and that contact information is coming up, right, Daniel?
That's right, and thank you for listening. Our email address is parkinsonsandmepodcast@gmail.com. Toll-free number to call for our voicemail, if you're in the U.S., is 706-873-1656. If you're listening to this in a podcast player, look down in the description and there is a direct link to where you can click to call or to take you directly to our podcast feed address. Also, if you have the Anchor app, it's a pretty cool app that you can find on Apple and Google's app stores. You can search for Parkinson's and Me on the app. Tap on the podcast. Along the top right, you'll see voice message. Tap on that and you can record a message and it will send it directly to us.